Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hey everyone!
Hello!
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast!
Hypecast!
Show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am your other co-host, David Bell.
I'm Adam Todd Brown.
Adam. Holy shit! Yes, you are!
I'm so hype!
I knew that was you!
Welcome!
I am so hype!
Oh man, I'm hyped for you to be here.
Thank you.
I'm hyped that I blanked on how we introduced this show.
Yeah, we just hype
through
all,
it though.
We hype what? All over each other. That's what we do.
Hell yeah, hype five.
Hype five.
No, in the middle of that intro, my brain stopped. I think my heart stopped beating.
It happens.
Yeah, these
complete
things happen.
Complete blank slate.
Your body just reset for
it's
a
like,
second.
Just a boop, and then right back into it.
You got quantum leaped.
I did, yeah.
Got hit in the chest with a baseball at just
what
the
if,
right time. Right.
What if you were abducted and lived a whole adventure, mm-hmm. and then your memory wiped, and you were brought back in time to this moment, mm-hmm. so we'll never know.
No.
Yeah. You just had an adventure, my friend.
Yep. I'm going to find some weird tattoo later.
Yeah. The best kind of tattoo. Yep.
You're speaking another language now, probably.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's what it was.
Adam, thank you for hype with us.
Thanks for having me. This
hype
is fun.
Hype is better when shared with friends.
Yes.
Amen.
Agreed.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of hype, should we start talking about trailers?
Yeah, we can talk about trailers.
Okay.
First trailer is the second trailer for Knives Out. The Rian Johnson murder mystery starring like everybody.
Starring everyone.
Everyone is in this movie.
Yeah.
I gotta say up front, I didn't watch this trailer on purpose.
Okay. I know why you didn't.
Uh-huh.
It didn't ruin it for me, but I'm probably not gonna watch any more trailers after this.
Right.
It didn't. There's only one new thing in this trailer, which is that they changed the tone. The first one was more like comedic.
Yeah.
This one's like a little more thriller-ish.
Oh, okay.
And they like give you a little more backstory, but nothing.
But I don't want to.
I didn't watch it because nothing in the notes indicated that it was a different trailer than the one I've seen.
Oh, okay.
A million times.
Well, okay.
But I've seen the trailer.
What do you guys think of?
I mean, I already want to see this movie.
Yeah.
And the more, like, I already get irritated by movie trailers revealing too much. Anyway. And this is a murder mystery. Like, I don't want to know anything.
Right.
Had you going cold.
Had I thought about it beforehand, I probably wouldn't have watched this either out of that risk. I'm happy to say that it didn't do anything like that. It didn't ruin anything. All it does is clarify the relationships of the characters, which wasn't like it was sort of something that you can kind of get from the other trailer.
I don't necessarily need to know until I go into the movie though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's backstory.
I do want to know what's with all the... What's with all the knives? Why do they have all those
knives out?
Why are those knives out? They do say in the trailer why the term knives out.
No. I don't want to know.
I mean, it's not a...
What happens after they say it?
Nothing. It's someone
people
says something like nothing like relatives showing up to get all the knives out or something like that is the phrase.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like they explain sort of the context of the title.
Yeah,
but I don't know why there's literally knives out. Like there's a wreath, a
knife collection.
Yeah, I assume it's like a knife. They're a knife empire.
They're knife dealers. They're going to a knife show. taking knives to a gun show.
They're right. A storied knife family. They're knife tycoons.
I like to think they'll be like, what's with all the knives? What's with the knife reef? And they're like, yeah, that came with the house. Mm-hmm. And like, that's it. It's just like, yeah.
No, I want to believe that they're knife barons.
Yeah, I do too.
Wealthy knife barons.
I want them. Yeah, I want their last name, the family last name, to be Knife.
They tapped into a lucrative knife vein.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Northwest.
Well, you always
what happens
knives.
If you went Forged in Fire?
Yeah.
You have to go live with that family. Anyone watching Forged in Fire?
I don't know what that is.
Come on!
I know
it is
of it.
A reality competition show, kind of along the same lines of the Great British Baking Show, but instead of cakes, it is dudes making knives in their shed.
Why don't they call it Sword Bakers?
That would be pretty great.
Yeah.
Sword Chef.
Sword Chef.
Sword Bakery.
There's
sword
a bakery. Spinoff of Forged in Fire that is Forged in Fire, but with an obstacle course, and it's somehow far more boring.
Wait.
They have to leap over obstacles to hammer their knives?
Well, here's the problem. To get on Forged in Fire, you have to be really good at making knives. To get on the obstacle course version, you just have to know how to make knives. And they'll let any crazy fuck bring his knife from home and be like, this is the one. And then they try to cut a pig with it and it flies off and cuts his neck.
They chase a pig
it's
around?
It's an obstacle course full of knife challenges.
Yes.
I get it. I was picturing people like climbing a wall and swinging on a rope.
No.
Get to the forge and hammer their knife.
Like they have to dip it in water, but they have to do a rope swing first. Yeah. And half of them just burn their legs.
Right.
Yeah. That would be good.
Crawl under barbed wire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody make a knife boot?
No one has ever made, they haven't made them make a knife boot. On Forged in Fire, the respectable version.
Okay.
There's never been a knife boot. But hopefully after...
It's the top shelf knife competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After hearing the last best bad movie ever. Maybe. Maybe,
yeah.
Really assuming they're listening, which they are.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We get a lot of knife people, judging by the emails I get. A lot of people into knives.
Mm-hmm. A listener did send me a knife.
Oh, nice. Was it used?
And I still have it. It's a great fucking knife. Huh. No. But it did include a note about how sharp it was, and just by looking at it, I can tell.
That just seems like a really
easy... Cut my eye looking at it.
Yeah.
It just seems like a real easy way to get rid of a murder weapon if you were, say, you know, in a
smart.
Fancy murder mystery.
Oh, yeah, that knife probably killed a child.
That's smart.
Now you have it.
Smart.
It's a good idea.
That is good
smart.
Idea.
A real good idea.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Next time I kill someone.
Yeah.
Any M-Pops listeners want my knife? I use it to clean fish.
So we're all in agreement about Knives Out.
Yeah.
It looks great.
I'm really excited for this movie. It might be... When is it coming out? Does anybody
December.
Know? Yeah, I think it might
I
be
think,
the...
Or in November or December.
Okay. It might be the most exciting film this year for me, I think. Because it's a good old fucking murder mystery. We don't get enough of those.
Mm-mm. Sure don't.
Yeah. It's going to be
except
great.
Of course, for Adam's knife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Classic tale.
What do you guys think of this next trailer, In the Tall Grass, based off a Stephen King book that he wrote with his son?
Yeah.
I haven't read the book, but...
It looks all right. It looks like a movie I'll sit and watch on Netflix.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people can't get out of this grass.
Yeah.
That's the plot. It's people, they park, and they're like, check out this grass. And they go in the grass, and they're like, how do I get out of this grass? And I know they must, because the trailer shows them, like, later, like in the church... In,
unless the church is in the grass.
The church is like grass adjacent.
Oh, no.
I think
the church is in the grass.
Is it? Is that the premise? So no one's read the book?
No, I've never
read the book.
It's a fairly new, recent novella, so.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good. I'm glad they're doing more Stephen King.
Yeah. The stuff they've done so far has been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Gerald's Game
Gerald's
a whole
game
lot.
Gerald's Game
was
awesome.
Yeah, Gerald's Game was great.
That's that Mike Flanagan shit.
I still almost pass out thinking of that one scene.
I've almost passed out reading that part in the book, and then seeing it in the show is just like, good God.
Yeah.
God.
It's a real bummer.
Yeah. Watch
Gerald's Game.
Yeah.
Watch 1922.
Yeah, 1922
was good,
too.
Was that Stephen King?
Stephen King story, yeah.
Oh, no shit.
Short story.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, and this In the Tall Grass is another Netflix one. Netflix must have did they buy a bunch of like Stephen King stories?
It would appear that way, or they're merely buying the distribution.
Right. I know Stephen King famously sells his stories for $1. A lot of them, Like, if you go online, you can buy, a Stephen King, a discount Stephen King story for like a buck.
Like the rights to it?
Sort of. Like, I'd have to Google it for the details, but there's literally a webpage where you can like bid your dollar on it. And it's like, it's encouraged. Like, yeah, if you're a student, you're making, you like want to adapt this. It's all like the stories that he just like, maybe he does care about, but it's all like, yeah, this one short story from an anthology book that no one cares about. Like, it's just like he's written so much that it's just like,
it's like hundreds of stories.
It's yeah, it's like the bargain bin.
Sounds like a great podcast idea. Just buy a Stephen King story for a dollar and then
adapt it somehow.
Yeah,
make it into a podcast.
He does say only one adaptation per person. I feel like he figured that out. Because like if I was a movie studio, I'd be like, yeah, can I give me like $10? That's 10 movies.
I got $100.
Yeah. But I like the idea that Netflix like created dummy accounts and just plucked up a bunch of $1 Stephen King. Yeah, I don't know. Looks good.
Looks good.
Yeah, it's like the, you know, the Blair Witch where they can't get out of the forest.
Yeah. There's like spooky stuff in there.
Yeah, real spook show.
Real spooky stuff,
real
everybody.
Real spook show in the tall grass there.
That grass, it's pretty tall.
That grass is too tall. I've been telling people don't go into that tall grass. It's too tall. You can't see over it.
Be mindful where you're going when getting that grass. It's real tall.
Never come back out.
Try to look over that grass. You can't look over that grass.
Oh, man.
And that has been In the Tall Grass, adapted into a podcast. Yeah, thank you, everybody.
Did it. Cost us a buck.
That we've yet to pay.
Right.
It looks like...
buck.
So for the record, it's only for short stories. It's only for like a short film. And yeah, he sells them to students.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is really cool. Yeah, because it's like, yeah, if you're a studio, he's like, no, I'll fucking pay up. But yeah, if you're some student wanting to make a short film, he's like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Paramount, Stephen King is trying to get paid.
Yeah, it's like, just really, it's nice of him. It's nice of him. Next trailer is In the Shadow of the Moon.
This is I feel like I would have liked this.
This is coming out in like a week.
Yeah, it's a Netflix movie about
a murderer. Like a serial killer, right?
Well, I guess.
Yes.
And it's a time traveler who this police officer accidentally kills, but she keeps coming back. So it's clear she's trying to stop something from happening.
I think, yeah, she's like going back in time. Yeah. And like, I think she's going backwards in general or something. Like the new murders are like for her old murders. They keep showing like a pot of water that she's like all terminated in.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm kind of excited for this garbage because it could be
an interesting story. I wish they hadn't shown explicitly so much of the time travel stuff in them. It would have been cooler to just frame it as he accidentally knocks this lady in front of a subway train a few years ago and then she shows back up and is like,
right,
you know, just keeps appearing,
and they could do like these like quick shots of really weird shit in the trailer that you're just like, I don't know what that is, but I want to watch it.
Right. Yeah,
and then you get to watch it and be like, fucking time travel.
Well, it's clear enough. Like when he encounters her on the subway platform, she says, "This is where it happens."
Right.
And then they fight and she falls in front of the train. And then if you just show like later on in the trailer, she shows back up. That's enough for me to be
you're right.
Oh, she's a time traveler.
Yeah, I think this is probably a movie that might not be that good.
Oh, it's probably not.
I don't think it. I've lost so much faith in Netflix.
A lot of
original
their
movies
are very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
movies that
sci-fi.
Just couldn't get distribution any other way.
I feel
especially
like
especially the sci-fi.
Yeah. I feel like it started with the Cloverfield paradox.
Yes.
Woof.
Like, man, that was such a big stunt that failed so badly.
I think it is. It's the new straight to DVD.
Yeah.
It's way cheaper.
You don't have to pay the production costs,
right.
Manufacturing costs, rather.
I think what it is, I mean, Netflix does, yeah, when Netflix doesn't, I think the issue is that we don't know when Netflix is like getting in on the ground floor of a movie and it's essentially a Netflix production versus Netflix, yeah, going to a film festival and being like, we can get this for cheap.
Yeah.
Let's get it. Because I think that's what's happening a lot. And versus like The Irishman, Scorsese's film that's coming out where it's like, yeah, that's clearly like a deal Netflix worked out.
Well, you even see it with shows like The Spy, which is the Sacha Baron Cohen series where he plays.
I watched the whole thing.
Ellie Cohen. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I watched that and Unbelievable like all weekend.
Unbelievable is
it's fucking great.
Fucking unbelievable. It's so goddamn good.
And it came out of nowhere too.
Yeah.
It's named after the thing you mutter throughout watching it.
Yeah.
Which
but
is like, fucking.
The difference with those two, I think Unbelievable is actually a Netflix original series. And The Spy was on either FX or AMC.
Really?
But when it gets to Netflix, all the press you see is like this new Netflix series with Sacha Baron Cohen. Like it was on FX like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
They also, I think they do just like distribution for shows that are like produced internationally.
Oh yeah.
So it's just like, and this is how it's available in this market.
You're right. It is becoming a problem where they're less and less Amazon and this original series stuff, because it used to be if you're an indie filmmaker, you can still kind of rely on like, oh, if I get to film festivals, Netflix is going to buy it, Amazon's going to buy it. But since they're making their own shit now, they're like, well, you're also the competition. So like, it's actually becoming less of a good market for indie filmmakers, which is a shame. They still seem to buy stuff like this, but I think it's probably stuff that they specifically buy on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like otherwise they're like, well, we're just going to make our own movies. So why would we look at your shit?
Burn it down.
Burn it all down. I still want to watch this piece of crap movie, though.
Oh, yeah, I'll probably watch this piece of shit.
Yeah, I guess.
Because sometimes I Am Mother. Did you see I Am Mother? Did you see
I Am Mother? Oh, yeah, I did see I Am Mother.
That's one where I was like, all right, time to put on this shitty movie. And then I was like, this was really good.
Yeah, I Am Mother was pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a Netflix series called In the Dark. Have you seen that?
Is it? I watched, I think, Dark. Is it the one where they speak funny?
No.
In another language?
In the Dark is about a blind woman who her friend gets murdered. And it's basically her trying to figure it out from there. And it's a really good show. I watched, me and my girlfriend watched it in like two nights.
Oh, wow.
I'll check that out.
I'll check that shit out.
I started watching Dark and it was like basically German Stranger Things.
I didn't like Dark.
It was super bleak. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was just like that's the only way. It was just watching like, God, this is so German.
It's so German.
Yeah. I only watched like an episode of that, and I was like, I'm so depressed. I have no segue here.
So that's that movie.
Yeah, the Secret Garden. The Secret Garden.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is this the one where they're immortal?
I never watched it and I never read it. So I really don't know anything about the secret. I remember when the other one came out in like 94.
Yeah, I watched
mid-90s.
Secret Garden's just a Quincy Jones song to me.
No, I totes watched Secret Garden. And I remember the secret is something like immortality, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, that's
like,
pretty sweet.
Like it's surprisingly more like weird and sci-fi from what I remember. But I also watched it a really long time ago. So maybe I'm thinking of a totally, maybe this is like a Little Women situation. I don't know. But you see in the trailer, it's like a magic garden.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's immortality. It's all British. I think Colin Firth is in there.
British as fuck.
Yeah, it is.
Colin Firth AF.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's all like, he's all scoldy and like uptight.
Yeah, he's very Colin Firthy.
I think he has a turnaround. I think it's got like a Mary Poppins feel where it's like angry, uptight British people and the kids and fun and magic and shit.
You
chimney sweeps then.
Yeah.
You tell a guy that he has the power of immortality, he's gonna lighten up.
Yeah.
He's gonna lighten up because he's gonna realize there's no consequence to anything. It's gonna start eating human flesh.
Eating human flesh. That's what you do.
Perks
the moment
right
you're up. Told you're immortal, it's just like, all right. It's the
first thing I would do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, well, first things first, I'm eating somebody.
Dude, right. would you face the consequences? Like, I would maybe, because we're talking like immortality, like vampire, not even like better than vampire. Like, would you go to the chair and let them try and then be like, surprise.
That would hurt so
I'm
bad.
Immortal.
That would suck.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe not the chair because they would try it a bunch of times.
That's the risk with immortality is you think, well, I can just do whatever and I'll be fine.
Caught and thrown in jail for 600 years.
Yeah, if you get a 300 years
life sentence. Is that why they do the like three life sentences where like in case you're immortal? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's
that vampire?
I think it's like time for each crime.
Okay. So it's not like a vampire deterrent.
Yeah. Nope. That's a spoiler. Something we were just talking about. So never mind.
Okay.
Save that joke for when I'm on stage.
Okay.
Ruin it for a bunch of people in person who can't do shit about it.
That's fair.
Fuck you.
Can't
guys.
Call me out on it. I didn't say that.
Yeah, I'd be immortal. I don't know. Then the world explodes and you got a real problem on your hands.
Or you're just floating.
But yeah. Then I think, okay.
Then you just space swim to the next planet.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is
where you're a god.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a popular opinion or not, but I would just drift through space and I feel like I wouldn't get bored. Would you get bored drifting through space? There's a lot. It's pretty cool out there.
Right, but you got to think of how long it takes you. It takes a spacecraft to get to other celestial bodies.
You need to make off.
It's going to be a lot of...
You'd want a good kickoff into space, so you're going at a pretty decent speed.
You want to be going at a good clip.
Even then, there's going to be a lot of like driving through Nebraska, where you're like, oh, this is just stars.
It's like
just
you're going to be driving through Nebraska for thousands of years.
Right, that's fair.
Alive the whole time.
Alive the whole... No entertainment.
There's a Stephen King short story about that.
Space vampire?
No, it's a world where they've figured out space travel and this way that you can get to, I think, Mars in like 30 minutes. But the only hitch is you have to be knocked unconscious to do it. And they just give you a pill. Because if you stay awake for it, it feels like 5,000 years.
Oh, neat.
And in this story, this guy and his family get on the train and everyone's like, did you take your pills? Yeah. And then they get to the end and realize the kid didn't.
How's the kid doing?
He's not doing good, no. Dave.
He's not doing good.
He saw a lot of nothing over those 5,000 years.
That's a real shame.
Drove him into, that's the other thing. You're alone like in a white room.
Right.
For 5,000 right. years.
It's like the Black Mirror. Yeah. That too. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love that fucking story. It just haunts me.
Like, oh, yeah.
You look
time
over and
worst.
Your kid's got fucking gray hair and fucking freaked out of his mind.
I got to tell you, that kid is not okay.
Yeah.
Kid's like, you know, I had a really bad trip.
He's not doing all right.
Got to be honest.
Yeah.
Did not enjoy this trip.
Hey, how was the trip? Shed a little responsibility on the way.
Yeah.
The kid, I mean. Didn't take the pill. He's crazy now.
Kid's having a real tough time.
You want him?
Tough time adjusting.
I'm just going to leave him here.
Yeah, legally, we can just flush him down the toilet now. He's useless. Right.
So that's kind of what I hope Secret Garden ends up being.
Same.
Little crazy British kids. Final trailer. Dark Waters, not to be confused with Dark Water, the Jennifer Connelly, I believe, remake?
It is a remake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
About
Dark
based
Water.
Off a true story.
Of haunted water?
No, it's
what
based on a true
about?
Story about
an apartment that flooded.
No, it's the worst part of that story. Do you guys remember the ending of Dark Water?
No.
Not really.
Oh, okay. It's about she moves into an apartment. Is it okay if I spoil Dark Water for you guys?
Oh, is this the woman Certainly. That found the woman in the...
Yeah.
Reservoir. Where
basically the water's like haunted. It's haunted water in the well. It's a ghost story. But the reveal is that a little girl fell into the fucking. It's not the water tower.
The water tower.
Water yeah. tower, and it's just like her dead body has just been soaking in all everybody's water.
Gross.
Everybody's having little dead girl tea, basically.
Mm.
That's why you get
and so she's been haunting the water. Yeah. Yeah, that's based off Charcoal a real fucking thing where a hotel had a dead body, and that's...
That was here. That was in L.A. It was a Cecil Hotel.
Delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cecil Hotel, it's reopening next year, but it's like... that's the hotel that the American Horror Story season is based on, is so Cecil Hotel, which is a fucking flop house.
They took care of the disgusting. Water problem?
And yeah, the girl, it was.
So that's the one where she was in the elevator.
In the
footage.
Elevator, and there's that video of her like hitting all the buttons and looking right. out, and then she ends up in the water reservoir at the Cecil Hotel. But the thing she was in like latched from the outside, and it was latched.
Right, and everybody's
as if someone
like,
dropped her in there.
See, everybody was like, is it ghosts? Is it what? And it just looks like acid to me, where it's like someone just dropped some acid.
Well, she had. She had, I think, borderline personality disorder or bipolar or something like that.
And but she could have been murdered.
She could have been murdered or she, but yeah, she was in that tank for a bit.
Okay. So yeah, Dark Waters. Yeah.
The Dark Waters. No, Dark Waters is like an Aaron Brockovich story.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this.
Dark Waters looks good.
Yeah, yeah, it's about the DuPont. This is a true story.
Yeah, it's where DuPont got accused of putting a bunch of children in their water, right?
Yeah.
A bunch of little kids.
No, DuPont knowingly poisoning entire communities, which it turns out a lot of companies do this.
Yeah, they love doing it.
Yeah.
They're addicted to it. Give a shit.
Shout out to Johnson & Johnson.
And then we got Ruffles in this, the Ruffalo.
Ruffalo.
I love when they were like, they say something like the same producers who lived with the other producers from Spotlight. It's one of those where they're like people vaguely associated with this other thing, but they knew what I needed to hear, because Spotlight's another one where I'm like, yeah, and investigative journalism Mark Ruffles in it too. With Ruffles. Yeah.
Mark Ruffles.
Have you talked about Official Secrets on this show at all?
I don't think so.
That is a movie, if you like Spotlight, you will like a lot. And it's in theaters now. I think it's more of a wide release. I saw it at the Arclight over Labor Day weekend. It was there for 3 days. It stars Keira Knightley.
Yes, I remember seeing the trailer for this, I think.
It is so good. And it's a true story about how the United States asked British intelligence to look for blackmail material on a few of the UN Security Council countries that weren't going to vote with us on the Iraq war. So we asked them to find blackmail material, and this one woman was like, what?
This is my jam.
It's not what I signed up for. And she was a whistleblower over it, and it was this.
Is it like the movie The Whistleblower? Because that's also my jam.
Rachel
Weisz.
It's a lot.
Whistles.
It's a lot like that, and it's
just blowing into different whistles.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to blow into this one.
It's a crazy story. Like we committed a war crime.
Oh yeah, we love doing that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That was one of them.
I'm getting
one of the war crimes.
I've been doing '90s thrillers, so I'm naturally kind of transitioning into like spy based off true story, all the President's Men stuff, scandals. Like, I know I'm about to rewatch Spotlight. I'm like, I can feel it coming, my Spotlight rewatching.
Yep, gearing up for it.
Yeah, because just watching The Spy, it was just like, oh, yeah, give me that shit.
It's like gearing up.
Yeah,
for
well, the Americans is gone.
Lord of the Rings.
There's no more America. Did you ever watch The Americans?
No, I didn't watch The Americans.
Oh, my God, Dave.
I'll watch The Americans.
The Americans will be your favorite television show. Okay.
Is it canceled?
Did it end, or was it canceled? It ended.
Okay.
They ended it after season 6.
Okay. After Deadwood, I just don't watch things that are really good but also canceled, because it's like, well, I don't want to feel the worst feeling ever.
No, The Americans comes to a conclusion.
Okay.
And it is one of the best shows of all time.
I'll do that. I'll watch The Americans. I'll watch Spotlight.
Really good music. We had the guy who does all the music for The Americans on Unpops once. His name's Nate Barr. He builds his own instruments.
No. I mean, that's cool, but unnecessary. You know, like, people make those for musicians.
Well, no, when you hear the theme song to The Americans, like, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, what fucking 18th century Russian ballet music is this? And it's like, he built this fucking thing that makes sounds that he says people associate with Russia. And sure enough.
So like Dr. Zhivago soundtrack sort of shit. All right.
It's good.
Dark Waters wants us to not realize Bill Pullman's in it.
I know. They hid that information.
They really did. They're just like, all this stuff and Bill Pullman. It's like, no, fucking lead with that. We don't get to see Bill Pullman enough.
Agreed.
Yeah. Give us Bill Pullman. Give us what we want.
Which is Bill Pullman.
Yeah. Mr. Wrong 2. Let's get that. I'll watch it. That's it for trailers. You guys want to talk about some news stories?
Man, I can't wait to talk about
news
stories.
I don't want to.
I'm getting mixed feedback here.
Oh, because I said I don't want to.
Yeah.
Tom said he did. So
listen,
that explains it, probably.
Should we flip a coin? Or?
Yeah.
This is my show.
Mm.
And we're going to talk
knife
about
boot fight.
Knife boot fight! Clash of the Knife Boots.
NBC's streaming service is a thing. It's called Peacock, which
That's a stupid name.
That's a real mistake. No one told them that was a mistake. They're making a reboot of Saved by the Bell, which I think Zach Morris is apparently like a senator in it.
Governor, I think.
Governor.
Something like that,
Battlestar Galactica reboot, which the third one. Then, of course, they're snatching up all the reruns of The Office and Parks and Rec.
finally somewhere I can see reruns of The Office.
Yeah.
And Parks and
Rec. Oh, and Parks.
It's just, man, they just...
How have I gone this long without access to The Office? They've
not been available for so long.
I know.
Right.
It's... That's the one with Jim and Pam, right?
Yeah.
Because it's been that long. I just don't even...
Oh, dude, you're going to love it. They get together.
Don't spoil it.
Well, I saw a trailer for the new season. They're in Venezuela now. Mm. Crazy.
I'm so excited for that.
That is absurd. That so is government propaganda.
I'm so sorry to watch Jack Ryan participate in...
widespread misinformation campaign against the American people.
Yep.
I got to hand it to Jack Ryan from being like, well, this is what he'd be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right.
Well, if you read the Washington Post, I feel like they were very convinced we'd be at war with Venezuela right now.
When they were making it?
Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post and he owns Amazon. And now here we are with a big TV show about a war in Venezuela not going to happen anymore.
Watch the shit out of it.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Check
a nuclear Venezuela. Their people are raising rabbits for food. They do not have nuclear weapons.
Yeah. I will give... Did you watch first season of Jack Ryan?
No.
I'll give them props. They didn't... It wasn't like... It was like... There was no like bad guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There was no country that they were demonizing. It was all sort of... Like, I don't know. I'm not going to defend Jack Ryan because it's dumb. I just love it, and they're fairly aware that it's like a more modern version of the older Jack Ryans, where they're like, yeah, we're going to make this a little more complex. There's also a subplot where a drone operator gets beat up by a guy who likes to watch his wife have sex with people.
Right.
So that's a whole thing that happens.
Oh.
It's he like goes to Vegas and he meets a husband and wife, and they bring him back to their like hotel room, and then the husband watches him have sex with his wife and then beats him up, and it's like part of their fetish.
Does he set a drone on him later?
No, but it's like
fucking kills him in Las Vegas with a drone strike.
It's not something you expect in a Jack Ryan series to happen.
True.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Espionage. Okay.
It's good stuff, guys.
So what the fuck was the...
Peacock. What are we talking about? Peacock!
Oh, it's just Peacock?
This is one of the things is I've heard people say like, oh, it's going to be so hard picking a streaming service. For me, it's been exceedingly easier.
Yeah.
When they're like, Disney Plus is going to have like Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah,
and then like Peacock's going to have The Office and Saved by the Bell. And it's like, okay, so I don't need any of those.
Don't need those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could just... Like, you can still buy things... Like, if you want to have The Office forever and ever and ever...
Just buy the physical copies.
Buy it on DVD, or just buy it on a streaming service.
Yeah, buy it on Amazon or iTunes.
And if you buy it on the right one, you can download it and have it offline forever.
Right. I also don't think the, like, the Saved by the Bell thing, and maybe it's different, like, because I know, like, when they did the new Sabrina, they knew not to do the old Sabrina.
Yeah.
But like the Full House, where they're like, isn't this zany? We're doing Full House again. And everybody watched it for a season. And then they're like, oh, right.
Oh, this Full House sucks.
Yeah, this is dumb.
And I think Saved by the Bell will be the same thing, which is it's like it's purely nostalgia. So if they just do another Saved by the Bell, everybody's just going to watch it for a season. Remember that there's a reason we don't do the shows like that anymore, and then stop watching it.
Yeah.
But maybe they'll do...
I kind of dig the new Sabrina.
Well, I was going to say, maybe they'll do like a gritty Saved by the Bell. Maybe they'll do something where they're like, we need to do it for... Like Sabrina is basically that, right?
Yeah.
They're like, so what if they
Murdered by the Bell, make it a true crime show.
Yeah!
Boom!
What if they do like...
Fucking stabbed by the Bell.
Shanked by the Bell.
Because I'm stabbed by the Bell.
I mean, that's what I say to people before I attack them.
That's right. You get stabbed by the Bell.
Yeah.
I want that.
Also,
I want Mark Paul Gosselaar to be a serial killer, and I want that to be his thing.
It's
more
it's,
like stabbed by the Bell. Oh,
it's a threat or like a promise of romance.
Yeah,
for you.
A promise of romance. There's nothing not creepy about saying you're gonna get stabbed by the Bell as a promise of romance. I'm going to promise you my romance. And you'll be stabbed by the
bell. More like stabbed by the bell. Promise? I do, yeah.
So, no matter the context, it's a threat.
It's threatening.
It's weird.
but it's a promise of sex threat.
Right.
Sex threat. Sex threat. You're my sex threat.
This is wonderful. Good job, everyone. Any other thoughts about Peacock?
No.
Right. No. Who would subscribe to that? Says the guy who subscribes to CBS All Access. But
I'm going to have to do that for Picard.
For Picard?
I subscribe for The Good Fight, which is the Good Wife spinoff.
Yeah, sure. Right.
The Good Wife, low-key, the last great network TV show. Well,
sure.
For a while. There are some great network TV shows right now.
Yeah. I subscribe to like Shudder. Because it's just one of those things where I was like, yeah, I guess I might as well.
Well, the thing is, we can all write this shit off on our taxes. Like,
I
subscribe to Shudder. I subscribe to fucking everything.
I subscribe to Verve still, VRV, for they do anime and Harmon Quest, and that's it.
And their app is garbage.
Their app is garbage.
There's so many where I've like had to subscribe to something for a podcast.
Yeah.
And then like 6 months later, I'm like, what is this $7.99 charge? Right.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, Fandor.
Fuck us on Fandor.
It's a documentary thing.
Well, you don't think, like, I rent stuff where it's like, $3 here, $3 there.
Adds up.
And like, this month I was like, did someone steal my money? And I went in my bank account. Like, no, it was me. I stole my money.
We should probably start keeping track of that shit.
I rented High Crimes. Like, it's just like, I need to be careful about the 90s thrillers I need to watch.
We probably spend like $50 a month just on the shit that we have to.
Oh, yeah. Watch. Well, you got to write it all off. You write it all off.
Yeah, we need to.
Yeah.
Business expenses.
I think we all have the same accountant.
We do.
Yeah, I think so. Do you still use that guy?
Same accountant.
He's fucking great.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good accountant. Accountant plug. Kiefer Sutherland is going to be in a remake of The Fugitive. That's going to be on, I think, Quibi?
Yeah.
All
right.
Which means the episodes are going to be 7 to 10 minutes long.
Oh.
It's one of those trash apps for the youth.
Are we in a dystopian future?
No.
What is that?
It's like a Snapchat, Instagram, because Instagram is releasing shows now and Snapchat has shows.
So, yes, it is dystopian. What's going on? What's Quibi?
What percentage of Quibi users do they imagine they're going to attract with Kiefer Sutherland?
Right.
Yeah, that's going to...
In a Fugitive reboot.
Someone's got their finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
What is happening?
What do the kids love right now? That country singer.
Yeah.
Who? Kiefer Sutherland.
You know, he's talking about how there's not enough whiskey.
So I can see, like, because I love Adult Swim... And so I can see that, like, it's like 10-minute bits for the kids. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. I can get behind Quibi.
That's true. I forgot about that.
But Adult Swim wasn't like, hey, kids, we're doing The Fugitive.
Yeah,
like,
that's this is nuts.
Like, just make a new Fugitive movie. Just do a new... I'm all for, like, how they're talking about how they're threatening to do a face-off. Where it's like, you know what? Do 10 face-offs and do different actors for each one. It's the same with The Fugitive.
Quibi is an upcoming American short-form mobile home video platform founded by Jeffrey Katzenberg and set to launch in 2020. The company is targeted at younger viewers with premium content delivered in quick bites for viewing on the go.
Like 25 years from now, this clip from the podcast is going to be the Katy Couric, Bryant Gumbel thing where they're like, tell us what the internet is.
Right.
And we're all like, what is Quibi?
Jesus
and meanwhile,
Christ.
It's like how we run our elections then.
I mean, listen to this fucking shit. All right. It's raised $1 billion in funding from places like Disney, Sony, Warner Media. One of their shows is Spielberg's After Dark. Steven Spielberg is going to do a horror series for this program that can only be viewed at night.
Don't do that. What are you doing?
No.
What are you doing, app? Here's the thing.
That's elitist.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
You're too unfortunate to work nights.
Yeah.
No Spielberg for you.
Poor piece of shit. I'll make a sandwich every now and then, right? Like around noon?
Sure. I believe that. Okay. Yeah, I believe that you'd do that.
I'll make a sandwich, and I'll be like, I need something to do while eating the sandwich. And a sandwich takes like, you know, like 10 minutes to eat. Depends if you have the sides of things. Depends on how hungry. No, you can wolf down a sandwich. I understand. Or like, all right, maybe. All right, let's start over.
Sounds like
guys,
you don't.
Let's start over.
Okay.
Let's start over.
I mean, I eat like the building's on fire. I don't know if you guys
see me. All right. I have a lot to do, Dave. Expecting me to spend 10 minutes on
what's
a sandwich
a 10 minute
is
meal? What's a 10
really
minute
unfair.
Meal?
I don't spend 10 minutes eating anything.
You know,
what's a 10-minute meal?
I feel like Tom and I ask ourselves that question quite a bit.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pretend
anyway,
it's
so
a
you're
big
eating,
sandwich.
You're eating lunch
yeah,
for 10
and
minutes.
And I'm like, I need something to do for like 10 minutes.
You're eating a party sub.
So I'll put on like, I don't know, an episode of Last Week Tonight or like a bit from like a, you know, like a YouTube, one of them YouTubes. And it's like usually a comedy thing. And it's something that you can, if you say finish your sandwich too early, you can be like, you know what? I'm going to pause this. I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to casually watch while eating my sandwich. And I get that. But I don't think I'd ever be like, I'm going to put on a 10-minute version of a thriller, The Fugitive, or something like that. Like, that's reserved for, I want to sit down and watch an hour of television, right? I want to watch The Spy. I want to watch something where it's like, I'm committed to it. Like, when a TV show is really good, you don't want it to end, right? You're just like, ah, fuck. And then you have to watch the next one. But 10-minute increments of, like, a thriller or a horror thing, that I just don't get it. I don't get what you could take from that.
Yeah.
Like, you just binge watch it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be like, an hour later, you've watched the entire season of The Fugitive because they're doing it in 10-minute increments. It's like, what are you doing?
Like Shudder. A single hour-long show.
Yeah.
Shudder did that with a series with the most ridiculous premise. It was called Dead Wax. Anyone seen Dead Wax?
No.
No.
It was about a rare album that if you let it play to the run out groove, you died. And
so
they were
don't do that.
So yeah, so you'd think you would just maybe not want to
get
let
the
it,
MP3.
Get far. Yeah.
But
they did like I think like eight minute episodes or something. It's like just make it a short movie.
Yeah,
because what that tells me is it's not good enough to be either.
Right. It's not a sustainable premise.
It also seems just rushed. Because again, like you want to spend like 10 minutes of a show, like establishing your characters or like doing a really cool scene or something. Like, what are you going to do for 10 minutes of like a dramatic thing or a horror? Like a horror short exists and I can see an anthology, but like, yeah, that just sounds annoying. That just sounds like it's just like, hey, every 10 minutes, we're going to make you do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
Not into it.
I'm not one of the youths, though.
Hey, we were talking. Can we go back to streaming services for 1 second?
We're still there, man.
We're still kind of there, yeah.
Have either of you seen the Waco TV series?
Nobody really wanted to.
Well, here's the thing. It's the Paramount Network, and I know we don't want to give Harvey Weinstein money. So, good news. If you go to the Paramount Network and just they will give you a 24-hour trial with just an email address. And that is enough time to blow through the Waco series, which is insane. It is like, I get that there are some gray areas in terms of our response to the Branch Davidians, but it is the most aggressively sympathetic portrayal of David Koresh you will ever see.
Yeah.
Like, they really gloss over him fucking kids. And we know
that's
he did that.
That's why they were there. They were there to serve warrants for child abuse.
Yeah. And it, I mean, there's like, so, even with that, there's weirdness to it all. But the series, it's good, but, and it does kind of,
this is a hard sell because it's Harvey Weinstein presents.
Okay.
Fucking kids is not that bad.
But it's also Taylor Kitsch playing David Koresh, and he's fucking fantastic as David Koresh. God, who plays Michael Shannon?
Plays
the good FBI agent.
Oh,
because there were two factions at Waco. There were the good ones who were like, we can probably talk them down, and the other ones who were like, no, let's burn the place to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Shannon plays the good one. It's worth watching. Interesting.
All right.
But I don't think there's anything else on the Paramount Network worth watching.
What the hell would there be?
I'll check that out after The Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, they separated themselves from Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. Yeah. as they would.
I think you kind of have to.
Yeah, no one's embracing him, that's for sure.
Mm-mm. Yeah, my fun conspiracy theory is that's why the Harvey Weinstein stuff came out when it did. Because it's not like they didn't know he was doing that decades and decades.
Streaming service?
No, I feel more like the FBI was like, go ahead, put Waco out, see what happens. We do have information, sir.
Yeah. We've been sitting on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You know we're an intelligence agency, right?
I mean, Weinstein had it in, it was like a clause in his contract.
Yeah.
Like where they had steps stipulated for each allegation that would come out. It would be like, oh, he has to do this, he has to do this, he has to do this, for anticipating continuous future allegations.
Right.
It was the definition of open secret.
Right. Imagine being that power hungry that you think that's just never going to come back to bite you in any way. It's like novel, dude.
Yeah.
That is compromising information. Right. Jesus.
Anyway, what's the next story?
Anyway,
they might be remaking The Princess Bride. There are rumors about this.
I don't care.
Yeah. This is this falls under like the RoboCop stuff, where it's sort of like we don't love Princess Bride because of the compelling story necessarily.
It's a very simple story.
Yeah, it's more about the execution. And it's like the Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
it's that
the people involved.
Where it's like, yeah, no, you don't understand it. I mean, I don't think this is going to happen. There's been the internet was like, no, like,
well, and then
Carrie Elwes
was like,
what the
no,
fuck?
Don't do that.
So we know how much power he's wielding in Hollywood these days.
Right.
I know. But if you're trying to reboot Princess Bride to court, like nostalgia and fans of the original and the fucking and Wesley from the original is like, don't do this.
I think they might have leaked this rumor to just see.
To test? Yeah. Possible.
Because I think they did that with Face Off 2, and everybody was like, oh, fuck yeah. And they're like, all right, we'll do a Face Off. Because why not?
I want them to remake.
They needed to be told?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want them to remake Face Off and just have it be those guys again.
Yes, that's what I said. Sequel.
I want
sequel.
It to be just Nicolas Cage.
Just Nicolas Cage.
I want
two different versions.
Nicolas Cage is every character in the movie.
National Treasure, Nicolas Cage, and Mandy, Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Mm.
It should just be the return of Caster Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, we love you, Nicolas Cage.
What? Oh, what a hero.
You're in my show.
You want a shirt?
You can buy that shirt now.
Oh, man.
I might get one. Yeah. You ripped my shirt!
You ripped my shirt! Die!
He says that in Face Off.
He does.
Face off.
That was an improv, apparently. Because of course it was. Yeah. Like an improv.
Happy accident is more like
it. I wish.
Have we said the title of the movie yet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try something.
I wish every movie he was in, he snuck in the title if it wasn't in there already. Nick.
Looks like I'm leaving Las Vegas. Just dies.
We're having quite a time.
Pisses himself.
Raising Arizona. We're trapped in paradise. All right.
Declaration of Independence is a national treasure.
Do they say? I think they say national treasure in national
sure
treasure.
Sure, must. It would be hard to get around.
Yeah.
In that one.
Yeah, that's true.
He says Mandy and Mandy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure he says next and next.
I wanted him to sing Mandy and Mandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been great.
It burned you alive, oh Mandy.
They did burn
they
her
sure
alive.
Do.
Oh, he's that's doing harsh.
He's doing a Lovecraft film next.
Yeah, he is. By the
producers of Mandy
and Richard Stanley, the guy who's done a direct Island. I am so fucking excited for The Color Out of Space.
I hope Richard Stanley runs away into the jungle for this one too, but like still successfully directs it. Mm-hmm. It's just his process. God, I'm so fucking excited for that.
Yeah.
That's not even on our list here, but that's gonna be the best.
They showed it at TIFF, I know. Or
really?
I think they did.
Did the audience survive, or did like they just all vanish
all just
into
died.
Pink mist?
Got killed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, good times. That's it for news stories, you guys.
Oh,
man. Well, geez.
Yeah.
I guess, Dave, did you? Dave,
yes.
Did you?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
Oh my God.
Yes. This is guys. This is called Hipsters, Gangsters, Aliens, and Geeks. It's coming out late 2019.
Sounds like a Rob Zombie lyric.
It makes me angry. Because this is the kind of, like,
this is something.
I get crucified for sticking up for movie 43, and then this hipster shit will come out, and people will be like, oh, it's so bad, it's good.
This is
nothing is so bad, it's good.
No, I don't think
shut
this,
up.
Not when it's bad on purpose.
For the record, I don't think, I don't think this is going to be good. It
looks terrible.
I mean, I'm going to watch shit out of it. Guys, it's directed by Richard Elfman, who is the brother of Danny Elfman. It's starring, I believe, the son of Richard Elfman, which is Danny Elfman's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Which is to say that Danny Elfman does the music of this movie.
He does.
It looks like a really trashy indie film. It looks like it has great effects.
It looks like a 1980s music video.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But
it looks like the Noid should show up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It features Vern Troyer in a final role, I believe.
French. It's like rip, Tupac. Rip. There's rest just going to be Vern Troyer movies for decades. Yeah.
French Stewart and Steve Agee are both in it.
Strong cast.
It's about a jaded actor who gets his series canceled, and he wakes up with, quote, the key to the universe stuck up his ass, and an alien clown.
What? How charmingly absurd and irreverent.
An alien clown emperor played by Vern Troyer.
Why is it in his butt?
Hot pursuit. And then other aliens are also fighting for it. And there's a clown captain who also goes after it.
Captain Clown?
And is clown captain.
Oh.
There's a clown captain, Tom.
This
Jesus.
Less excited.
I don't know, man. I'm probably going to watch this, and I encourage people to at least watch the trailer.
You should watch the trailer.
But it definitely, movie 43 is a good comparison, where it's more feels like Danny Elfman has this brother who was making this movie, and then everybody was like, all right, I guess I'll help out.
Help your brother.
Yeah. And I mean, the music sounds good.
It does.
Yeah, Danny, sounds like Danny Elfman.
It also sounds like Danny Elfman phoning it in.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like Mars Attacks music.
Yeah. That's probably from the vaults.
Yeah.
He was like, you can use this.
Yeah.
Don't get to choose.
Yeah.
Some unreleased Oingo Boingo tracks.
Right.
Which would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be into that.
I used to, Danny Elfman's daughter used to be my boss.
Oh, huh. Yeah?
At one of my earliest writing jobs, and she was not nice.
Well, in a way, bad. Though, that makes Danny Elfman your great grand boss.
Right, yeah. We got into it because around the time Watchmen was about to come out, like the hype around Watchmen, like everyone
had a great trailer.
Everyone on the internet was very excited about Watchmen.
Yeah.
And I wrote an article saying, you know, just keep your expectations in check. This is internet hype. It is a property that is not as well known as the internet is implying. It might not do that well. And she was very angry that I took that angle on the Watchmen story and wrote me back and said, I have interns who would write stuff like this for free. And I wrote back and said, no, you don't. That's why you're paying me. And then I fucking quit. It's good times. I was already writing for Cracked at the
time.
You
got in trouble for being correct about the Watchmen.
Yeah,
You were very correct about Watchmen.
And that's the thing. I knew I was correct.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, your interns couldn't fucking write this.
Right.
You wouldn't let them, you tyrant.
Right. Goddamn Elfmans.
Fucking Elfmans.
What are they
doing?
Now
they're unleashing this shit on us.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, if you guys want to watch the trailer, it's on YouTube. It looks like a Nerf commercial. It looks like the steamiest
it does.
Pile of shit.
See, I like the look of it. That's the only thing I like.
Yeah.
I included it more of like a I can't fucking believe this.
Yeah,
is
I can't believe
made.
This exists.
Yeah. Because it was just like it's such the weird. It's the right combination of what the fuck. Because I saw a trailer for it, and I thought. And it said on the trailer, music by Danny Elfman.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, surely this is a student film and they stole music by Danny Elfman and used it in their shitty trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I Googled it and I was like, no, it has the music of Danny Elfman in it. So if you're like a big Danny Elfman fan, you're like a completist. Yeah, I guess you have to watch
this. You're going to need your collection.
Yeah, you're going to need the soundtrack.
There's no way to avoid
on
it.
On vinyl.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt and say maybe it's amazing.
I feel like not.
There's no possible way it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you liked movie 43, so.
Well, that's because it's a good movie.
Okay. Mm. Mm. Okay. We can.
That's not true. We can edit that out.
Yeah.
We can edit that out.
Don't you dare.
don't you try to pacify me.
I'm just saying, when you saw the trailer to movie 43, did you know that that was going to be a great movie?
No, I thought it was going to be trash.
There you go.
When I saw the trailer.
And that's what I'm saying, is maybe this will surprise me. Probably not. I mean,
we should
hate
definitely,
any of the people in it.
We should definitely watch
fine.
It.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't want to. It feels like it's going to be a real slug.
Yeah.
It feels like it's going to, we're going to pop it in and it's going to be like 2 hours, 20 minutes. And it's going to be like, why did you make it that long?
I feel like,
and
it,
then it's,
yeah,
it's going to just be like, just a bunch of shock stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like it's going to be some shock. Real happy time murder shit.
Right. But then at the same time, there's stuff like fucking early Peter Jackson where it's like same aesthetic, but somehow works, somehow is good. And I guess it's because we didn't know it at the time, but it's Peter Jackson making that stuff. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Maybe Danny Elfman's brother.
And here's the thing.
Bodie Elfman, I think.
Here's the thing. How old's Danny Elfman's brother?
God, they look the same age. It was Richard Elfman, who's done a few things. I think he's a musician.
And is this Danny Elfman's brother's first movie?
I don't know.
That fucking age? This is the movie he's making?
This is the thing he's been sitting on for decades?
It's definitely,
what
he's definitely
the
not
fuck
a famous
is
director.
Happening?
That's, again, that's the, it kind of feels like Danny Elfman's brother was like, I could make a movie. And then he was like, called up Danny Elfman. He's like, do the music in my movie.
It feels, there should be a 15-page investigative journalism article about this movie in Rolling Stone or something.
Yeah, Ronan Farrow.
Something is fucking happening.
I don't know.
Are the Elfmans okay?
It's just, I don't know. We'll see, man.
Yeah, we're going to
Troyer's last film. I guess that's got to count for something. He's dressed like a clown in it.
Went out on a high note.
Yeah.
He did.
It's an Elfman production. That's kind of,
it's not nothing.
Yeah.
They're not nobodies, the Elfmans.
Maybe what happened.
Vern Troyer was a bit of an Elfman himself.
Is they called, they called the actors. They're like, look, I got a film coming up. You want to be in it. I can't tell you who's directing it, but I'll give you the hint. The music's by Danny Elfman. And they're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll be in that. Expected to be in Tim Burton's next film.
Fucking Tim Burton movie. Nope.
Yeah. Nope.
Bait and switch.
Yeah. So yeah, fucking at least watch the trailer, guys. I forgot the name.
The name is something garbage.
Mobsters and hipsters.
Freaks and aliens and monsters. Something and geeks. What the hell? Why can't any of us?
I don't have my notes. I put my notes away.
Hipsters,
gangsters, aliens, and geeks.
Yeah, check it out.
Question mark. Let's let that be our last sode.
Yeah, ever?
No.
Ever? Of all time?
Let that be our sode.
Yeah. We're going to go out like Vern Troyer.
We're going to call like Vern Troyer
on
Danny Elfman's brother's movie.
Yeah.
No, that's a sode.
It's a sode.
We did it.
It's a thick sode.
Yeah. Adam, thank you so much for doing the episode.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What do you got going on? What can people do to find you?
Unpops. Check out the website. Check out patreon.com/unpops. We have new shows. The 90s sucked, which is about the 90s and how they sucked.
They did.
They did. They really, really did. Yeah. A lot of problematic things. Check out our upcoming Jose Canseco podcast with me and Jeff May. And me and Carrie Martin have a podcast about Mariah Carey called Pretty Carrie.
Nice.
That is a fucking treat. Even if you don't like Mariah Carey, you will like that podcast. And those episodes start going up publicly next week.
I think she was my first concert.
You've seen Mariah Carey in concert?
When I was a kid.
Jelly.
I'm pretty sure I was brought to see Mariah Carey.
I'm going to see her in Las Vegas in February.
Nice.
Sweet.
I also have a framed, autographed Mariah Carey album in the studio.
Nice.
It's true.
It is true.
Can confirm.
Shelled out for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was worth it.
Absolutely.
The peace of mind you get for owning that.
Yeah.
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 It's like a warm blanket.
It's an investment.
It's a weighted blanket.
It's going to put several kids through college, not just mine.
Yep.
That's all I got. Follow me on Instagram, Adam Todd Brown, Todd with one D.
Do that. Guys, we got a Patreon. You probably know about it. It's patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have a tier where you can watch movies with us.
Yeah.
We have all sorts of tiers there. You can request your own special episodes. You can make episodes just for you and nobody else. Secret episodes. So check that shit right out. Check it out.
Right on out.
Right now.
We also got a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. You can go and get like shirts and stickers, and there's a poster and all kinds. Basically anything you can slap a logo on.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of cool stuff in there.
Yep.
That you should check out.
Slap a logo on
slap,
it.
Slap a logo.
Slap a logo.
Also, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I've been reading those. They're very nice.
Yeah.
And you guys have been very nice.
Yeah. It helps us out, you guys. It's a way that you can help.
It does help.
Yeah.
It helps. Did you guys hear that?
It makes us more visible in their algorithms.
Yeah,
somehow.
Keep it fucking, keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Make some sort of bot system. Mm-hmm. Like
find a way to break our numbers. It. I mean, don't, I'm saying don't break the law, but I'm winking. You can't hear the wink, but right. I'm telling you that I'm winking when I say don't break the law.
Right, which is unrelated.
Don't break the law. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't break the law.
You can break the law, just don't break the law.
The, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know the one.
I don't know which law. You don't know which law I'm referring to. So there you go. Plausible deniability.
And the wink might not be related, which I'm saying that while also winking, which might not be related.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could just be.
We could have eye problems.
I'm over here vaping. It could be getting in people's eyes.
Right.
Causing all kinds of problems.
That could be the culprit right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's be done.
Okay.
All right. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.